Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Given out of the Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Pastor O, amen. My producer, amen. The lovely wife, Sheila, and my saints and friends at Runner for Christ Ministries. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome back to broadcast. You know, we were having technical difficulties. Amen. Unable to do the radio portion today, but amen. I decided to go ahead. Well, I prayed about it, and then the Lord decided to go ahead and do this message. Amen. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit of God in man. Amen. And that's, we're talking about, today we're talking about being holy. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get into that. Let's go before the throne of God. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless your holy name. Amen. For this opportunity to come before your people, to share your word, to share your thoughts and opinions, Lord. Father God, right now we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless us more, Lord, to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection in a greater way. Bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us who submit and obey you. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Right now, Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit of man in God. And the sad part is I talk to Christians a lot. Amen. That's what I've always done. I reach out to people. It's just in my nature. Amen. And in the process, I learned that they really don't know the value of them as a Christian. And they really, and I get it because in the beginning, I was just like the average person. I'll stick with that and was just basically what I would call religious because that's all I knew. That's, you know, but as I begin to study God's word more, I begin to see that it is more than that. You have to understand that the Bible has an end. It tells the end of a beginning. And the beginning of an end, if I can say it like that. Because at the end of this, you know, right now we're going through a major transition in life. There's a process that has occurred over the decades, over the hundreds of years, over thousands of years, with an intent. You know, again, like I said, we're talking about the Holy Spirit in man, and that, think about that. Everything that God does, he does it for a reason, you know, and in this particular case, it's our development as spirit beings. You have to look at it and you really have to spend time meditating with God to get the revelation that you need. Because, again, if you read the Bible, most people treat it as a storybook. And you really have to see that as you do your books when you go to college and school to prepare you. It is designed for just that because we are far more than we can imagine. We very seldom, and because I'm hearing more pastors teach about the phase three life or the third gen man and life after life, I believe the light of God is being shown to them. It's always been there. And I believe if it had been the primary doctrine, we would probably end up the same way eventually, but it might have taken a little longer. I can't say that for sure because there are certain areas in the Bible that indicate that we were only going to be in charge for 6,000 years. And that would begin from Adam's birthday, not the day Jesus came into the earth. That's my opinion on that. Nobody else has ever shared that I know of. All right. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, we pointed that out in the earlier sessions. He communicates if you will listen. But one thing he will not do is argue and debate with you, like people like to do for whatever reason. And the point is, let's read here in the book of Leviticus. Let me open up my Bible here. I believe it's chapter, did I print it out? Yes. Let's see. Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus 11:4. I believe that is 11:22. Let's see what we got. 11:22. Nope. Anyway, I can't believe I didn't print that out. But anyway, okay. Okay, 11:44. All right, we got it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're gonna read Leviticus 11:44. Just give me a minute. Kind of a little disheveled here because of what's been going on today. Now this is God giving Moses his commandments and his objectives. And that's the one thing that you have to get in your mind, that God does have a plan. I mean, if anybody has a plan, God has a plan. And the things that I have learned is the result of asking him his plan. I think a lot of messages today would be different if they asked God his plan instead of just creating a plan. Because now think about this. It says, so God has given them some laws, but then he says in verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself," reading from a New King James Version, added, "consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping things or things that creep on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt." And that's backed up with 1 Peter 1:13-15. Let's read that. And that this here helps you understand the fact that what God gave, what transitioned from the old to the new, is often quoted. Because what the disciples often quoted, or the groundwork for Christianity, which is Judaism, you will find written in the Old Testament. You know, the major things, particularly for the new people, and I know I got some brand new people, need to understand one of the major changes that went down was how God dealt with sin. If you read Leviticus chapter 4 and compare it to 1 John 1:9, you see a tremendous difference, because in Leviticus chapter 4 under the Old Testament, there was a lot of activity. They had to sacrifice animals and many other ritualistic things that they did that we don't have to do. Reading 1 Peter 1:13, it said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, in verse 16, because it is written, codified, established, be holy, for I am holy. God expects his children to act like him. Now, understand that this is why we do things the way we do. Let me get back. You can't do this without knowing God's word. And you must, it's imperative that you read it. And you can't wait to just Sunday when the pastor reads from the Bible to get the word. You need to spend some time every day of your life, 7 days a week, reading God's word. And particularly because that becomes your reactionary response to different situations. Your decision making ability lies within that. God is, as you know, this program is called Training Day. And the main thing about that is that my point is that we are being trained as kings and priests for our future positions in at an eternal level. Now, people that choose never to obey God, never to seek God, are sending him a clear message that he is not their God. And we don't get to set the standard of holiness. He has written it down, broke it down, analyzed it, and presented us to us, particularly in the New Testament, and particularly by the writings that are in the book of Corinthians, Ephesians, and all those, what we commonly call epistles. Those are commentaries that God had written to express his what his level of holiness is. Now, for the most part, it deals with interactions and relationships with everybody, whether a person believes in God or does not believe in God. God has a standard, and this standard is, again, going to be the mindset that will be in existence throughout eternity. For instance, once we make the leap into the 1,000-year part of life, the first 1,000 years, we will be at 100% of our mind, but the parameters for our behavior will still be what is written right now. And one of the primary objectives that Jesus laid out to us in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, is that we must learn to love God and love our neighbor. Now, understand those situations, our love is revealed really under adverse circumstances. I mean, everybody loves you when they get what they want, got what they want, feel like they want to feel, and everything's going right. Love is really not known until you reach the level where of challenge. Because even though during the eternal life period, we won't have the same experiences that we have now, because I believe it's in Revelation 21:6, it says that God gonna wipe away all tears, okay? Which tells me at that point that we will have life, but at the same time, we will have life everlasting with peace and joy and happiness and none of the negativity that we presently experience. But again, you have to bear in mind what type of persons we will be. I mean, think about some of the things that are going to go down. Prior to that, we will have a 1,000 year. Think about that. You haven't been 1,000 years old. And we're going to have a 1,000 year training period. Because again, there will be two types of persons in the earth. There will be first gen man, second gen man, and third gen man. So there are three persons. Well, actually, you know, I'm not exactly sure on the first and second gen man, because the Israelites are going to come through, and it doesn't give us detail about what happens with them, whether God gives them the Holy Spirit. I believe he did when he sealed them during the tribulation period. But we'll go with that. But anyway, I do know that there will be second gen man and third gen man. Second gen man operates at 20% of his mind. Third gen man operates at 100% of his mind. But he will have to interact with them. We will have to interact with them the same way Jesus interacts with us, which is how he deployed the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look at your life and the different challenges we have presented to him and how he responded to that, then we get a picture of how we're supposed to act, what God is going to expect. And again, the fact that it's going to take 1,000 years. I mean, if it wasn't necessary for our development, I don't think God would do 1,000 years. You think that with us being at 100% of our mind, being far more intelligent than what we are now, that should only take a year or two at the most. But God is omniscient. And so he decided that it's going to take 1,000 years. And there are going to be many instances, because really we only know what the Bible reveals to us. I mean, there are going to be things going on that we don't know about now. For instance, there will be intergalactic travel at a different level than we can even comprehend. And it's the experience of having such power. Think back now how the messy part got started was Satan, who was then known as Lucifer, in heaven, never having had a bad day in his life, never having been hungry, tired, or sick, decided that wasn't good enough. He wanted to be God. Why? I mean, he didn't even know what we know. He ain't never had the experiences we have had. He ain't never had a broken heart. He ain't never lost anything. I mean, he had everything made triple grade in the shade, and that didn't make him happy. It's hard to imagine someone else that reached that level would be that stupid. But then when you watch people now, you watch them struggle through life, and then they become rich, and all of a sudden they develop a mindset as though they're God. Like you're seeing today, men that think they have the answer to man's plan by reducing the population. I mean, it's amazing how that mindset, how their minds can be manipulated by those individuals. Now, true enough, during 1,000 years, Satan will be locked up, but he's only going to be locked up for that 1,000 years. Think about that. Now, at the end, he's released to try the saints one more time. Now, that's another gray area. Are some of the third-gen saints going to fall for the sucker deal too? Because, again, they may conclude that they are not susceptible to death, but you know, you're still under the grips of God's power. He will always be omnipotent. You will never outpower him. See, I do know that the flesh, the survivors of the tribulation period, are going to sucker in, but I don't know. I just know one person that won't get suckered. I can't speak for nobody else but me. Shoot, man. Believe me, if I told you what was going on in my life, you're like, man, how you dealing with that? I'm like, because I have every intention of making it to the rapture or before then. I am not going to hell for nobody or nothing. Ain't nothing down here worth that. There's nothing of value that I can think that there ain't none. It don't get no better than Jesus, I'm gonna tell you. All right. So last week we talked a little bit about humble, and that's amazing. That didn't come out in the video portion. But we talked about that. We talked about being humble, and we talked about Abraham and Noah and how they, you know, submitted to God and followed his plan, you know, despite the challenges that present, because God was just giving them instructions to do things. And humble is when you lower yourself. God is not going to do that. And we thought one of the key factors was God is not going to do that for you. Particularly our generation, Christians. Christians have authority very few had. Only prophets, kings, and priests had the Holy Spirit on them. So everybody did not have authority over Satan during the Old Testament era. But yet and still, they prevailed. Many of them prevailed. You know? So us as Christians having the Holy Spirit, which is a greater power, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have no excuse. We can't say the devil made me do it because he can't make me do it. He just can't make me do it, you know? And it's challenging being flesh, all right? So Abraham and think about the cultural influences of their day. That's the same thing that we experience now, which is why God tells us to come out from among them. That's a challenge for people because some of those that we had to come out from among them are blood relatives. But it is what it is. Your objective is to please God and make it to heaven. Not please man. Because man, if the same people that try to draw you off from God would turn around and backstab you and tell you you were stupid for leaving God. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. You see a lot of things. So it says in James 4:10 and 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself. You need to write those down. Humble yourself. Make a decision. But why not? God's smarter than you. And that's challenging. But I get it because you got this outside influencer. Okay, Satan, that's what his job is. That's what demons do. You know, and I think in Matthew 18:10 or in the 18th chapter, I know it lets you know that children have angels to stand before God. So you know what else you got? You got a demon. They followed you. Amen. And it also, I like when Peter said, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. See, the whole key to this is allowing God to be the ruler of your life. That's why you want to have in 1 Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule. That means you and him are in a united thinking effort. You know, and it, believe me, it makes your life a lot easier. Because God knows, a lot of times we don't like it, but that's the whole point, is recognizing the Father knows best. All right, so you had Noah, same thing, cultural influence, strong cultural influence. Society had advanced, if you could call it that, back then. But again, they had began to develop a pseudo-religion, but they had actually got off into formal worship of God and leadership. And God was blessing that effort because that was his intention, and Satan managed to corrupt them. You know, toward the end, that's one of the classic signs of the end of times, is when the Christian leadership is more concerned or leans more to Satan's program than God's. Now, the disadvantage they had was they didn't have a written, completed Bible. We have. So what excuse do we have? Again, they didn't all have the Holy Spirit in them. We all do, which means we have direct contact with God. I mean, this is tremendous. All right, so that we talked that again. Like I said, you had Abraham, and then you had other characters in the Bible. Moses, he obeyed God, despite the fact of a threat of a death sentence if he returned to Egypt, but he did it anyhow. Of course, you know David faced Goliath, and then David. Now, David, I really liked about David was we didn't talk a whole lot about him, but you see his humility in that when King Saul had failed to do what God said do, then God selected David to replace him, but David could not take his place until Saul was dead. And in the process of that time, David began to gain notoriety with the favor of God, and Saul became hateful of David and of jealous of David and tried to kill him. But despite his efforts to try to kill David, David respected the office that God had given Saul. Now, that came from the simple fact that he was willing to submit to God in that aspect, in that area, rather than go with his emotion. I mean, somebody throw a spear at you, you know, it's like when you are working, you ask the average cop, when somebody shoot at them, most cops get angry. That's why they fire so many rounds back. When somebody try to kill you, that angers you more than anything. You know, it doesn't, it somehow fear goes away and you're like, I'm going to kill you. But anyway, you know, so, and then we got the primary character, as we know, was humble, Jesus. Let's read his epitaph in Philippians. And this is, I'm going through this for the most part for my new people. And just as an FYI, remember when you come to Christ, you're making a cultural change on, you're making a personal cultural change, and in some cases a family cultural change. And that's not always that easy, which is why God is patient with us. God does everything that he commands us in when it talks about exercising the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit only tastes good when you obey. That's the only time you get sugar out of it. All right. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. As the songwriter said, he came from heaven to earth. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, that, you know, from experience, I know back in my younger days, I used to work for the Auto Corporation, and I was working in quality control with the intent of getting into engineering, but Satan had found a weak spot in me. Particularly, there was a transition mode. You know, in 1967, in the 70s, there was still a lot of heavy, high level of racism in America. And I wasn't a fearful type of individual. And it worked there. There was a transition. The corporation was trying to promote African Americans that had the qualifications. And I managed to get into the department, quality control. But they kept passing me. I had this supervisor. It was a rebel flag waver, you know, thought he could talk to me any old kind of way. And I would let him, I would put him, call myself putting him in his place. Not realizing, though, that when it came to promotion time, he was going to be one of the persons that determined whether or not I get promoted. Now, I never knew if he was saved or not. We never had that conversation. And I never knew if he was just doing that just to see how I would respond, which to me didn't have nothing to do with the job. But anyway, when he would talk to me in a negative way, I would respond. You know, I mean, I was taught you treat me with respect, I'll treat you with respect. You reap what you sow. Anyway, and so I ended up not getting promoted. I just leave right there. He wasn't fine to me and I wasn't fine to him. But now I had this partner that did get promoted. And even when he got promoted, man, they treated him like dirt at the next level. But he didn't let it get to him. Now, at this early stage, well, it wasn't early for him because he had had practice and he had word in him that allowed him to be to the point where God determined how he should respond. And as a result, he was not only, he was promoted, but within a 3-year period, he promoted to a level that we all sought to get to. See, and you see this characteristic in a lot of, particularly civil rights leaders, that they had to go through something to get where they got. And that takes something. That takes something. You know, eventually I had no choice in the matter. I had to reduce myself, humble myself. You know, I left that profession, went into law enforcement, and it got even worse. I came to the conclusion then, you know, God would determine my manhood. And if he was happy, I would be happy. You know, I did invite one supervisor out to the parking lot, but, you know, I stopped after that. And the thing about this is think about this now. If we had the fullness of power right now, and God has released, raised the level of authority of believers right now, and a lot of believers don't know it. If I could have, say, had laser eyes, there'd be some dead people. I just would have cut their heads off with my laser. You know, it's a Prime, you know, Amazon Prime has a movie. I'm not recommending them, but they got a movie called The Boys. And it's about superheroes, but it showed them in a human mentality. And the things that humans do with that type of power, which I think is a great example of how we would act if God didn't regulate our behavior. You know, because you can't, if you got a person, that's the whole point of this, see? This when it comes to humility. Now, with the shortness of time, and I'm not going to really try to rush through this unless God say otherwise. I want to relate to acronym for holy, which means humble, which is what I'm talking about, obedient, loving, and yielding. And you see these characteristics in all the faithful men of God. You know, again, you have to just decide, because again, you have to let God be God regardless of your emotion. Because one other character we didn't get to was Jonah. Matter of fact, let's read that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to read this on for the benefit of the new people again. This is a classic tale, okay? This is an actual event, as a matter of fact, you know. And we're reading in Jonah chapter 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Okay, he didn't get an email. He got it directly from God. The son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Apparently Jonah did not know that God is omnipresent. If he could have got on a rocket and went to Mars, he would not be out of the presence of God. You know, it's amazing that revelation that came forth eventually, you know, you collect that when you talk about God, when you, Isaiah presents a lot of that in Revelation. He reveals a lot of that through Isaiah. Let me say it like that. And God knows all things. He told David. David said, if I make my grave in the, if I make my bed in the hell, you're there. Okay. So you can't get out of the presence of God. But the point now, let me give you what Jonah's issue was. The Ninevites had tore into Israel's behind some earlier years. So he's still mad that they didn't get punished for what they had did to Israel. And again, Israel, if they got their butt tore up, though, it's because there was corruption at high level and a lot of the low level. Okay, God, let me keep that in mind. That's one of the, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's one of the major things about this message, is you want to be able to have full access to the promise, which is protection through angelic hope. You want to have access to God if you need finances. You want to have access to God without hindrance for healing. This is the condition. There is a condition for all those, and this is one of them. See, you know, this is not, God does not have freedom of religion. You don't get to choose and pick how you're going to live, and he's going to be all right with it. Don't confuse the fact that you are alive and have a pretty decent life that God agrees with you. The only way you know is you measure your conduct and your life up to God's word. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, it gives you the reference. It says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the sons of men continue in their evil. See, you could be wrong, and because God don't drop a lightning bolt or some type of disease on you to stop you in your path, you will assume you're right. That's why a lot of Christians have practices that are not acceptable to God, and they don't, as though they're not going to have to talk to him or give account of this when they face him in judgment. Don't assume you're right. If you haven't read particularly the whole New Testament, you don't know if you're right or wrong about a lot of things. You need to know for sure, okay? Because again, this gets into a lot of areas. Like here, Jonah was allowing his emotions to dictate his behavior. And this is the primary objective of this life, is for us to learn to not let our emotions dictate our behavior. Because again, we're talking about going to a level of authority and power that is beyond our imagination. We see it, but we don't see it. The fact that you can hear me, the fact that you can see me. I mean, think about the transactions that are going on that allow you to hear and to see. You're buried deep within your body. You know what? Your whole being may not be but about a quarter of an inch in diameter. And yet you wield and manage a mass that may be anywhere from 5 to 6 feet tall, and you communicate with it so rapidly that it's instantly that people assume that their body is them. And it's not. The Bible is clear. You are a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion. And you are inside of a body. Make no mistake. You will come up out of this body. Okay, them people in Luke chapter 16, their bodies was on earth. Matter of fact, their body's still in the earth. They haven't come back to retrieve them. My mother and father and Abraham and all them going to come back and retrieve their dust, dress in it, and go back to heaven. That's what happens at the rapture. And then we shoot up after them. All right? That's the whole point of this life. And what that does is when you pray, you won't have no hindrances. Okay? Now that covers a lot of territory. You know, Peter, I believe, in the third chapter talks about husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Excuse me. So that your prayers won't be hindered. In other words, and it's amazing. It don't say that reverse, even though it does reverse. Okay? I'm assuming it does. You know, like I said, I've said frequently, I remember one day the Lord told me that my wife was his daughter. That changed everything. His voice was, that was one of them epiphany, what I call epiphany voices. No doubt about who said what. Okay? It wasn't no doubt. Was that the devil? Was that an angel? No, that was God. He made it clear. But my wife would tell you, I'm nice to her. As nice as I can be. I am not messing with shoes, man. But the whole why? Because my opinion and his opinion. His opinion is the ruling opinion. That's what this life is about. Think about this. Even in the next life, you're not married. But I just learned something. Relationships will be so great that the ecstasy will be beyond what we've ever experienced here. That's something. Oh, man, we just don't know what's coming. That's why it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered the heart of man. That which God hath for those that love them. Hello, man. That's in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2. Read the whole chapter. You need to anyway. But anyway, all right. So we talked about holding. We talked about obedience, which we saw, we just read, Jonah wasn't obedient. He tried to run off, to get away from God. He ended up being swallowed by a great fish. There's a debate over that. People talk about a whale's throat is too small to swallow a man. Listen, when God wants to do something, God is going to do something. He can change everything to fit what his objective was. Now, don't think Jonah like it's one of them cartoon pictures where they show him sitting inside the belly of a whale with a little candlelight, at peace. No. Think about it. He was down there with all the fish, dead fish food, everything that fish ate was down in there. You talking about, a different level of smell of vomit that he couldn't even imagine for 3 whole days. That's why he called it hell. And he didn't know when or if he was going to get out. When he came out, the fish puked him on the shore. He was showing up random for to do what God told him to do. And that's what God don't want you to have to go through all them changes. Trust me. Doing what God say do, how he say do, will be a blessing to your life. Read Deuteronomy 28:1. That's exactly what it says. If you hearken and obey God, okay? Matter of fact, let's read that, Because that's critical. Now, how you going to hearken? See, again, by you having the Holy Spirit, he can do that. Deuteronomy 28:1, the New King James Version, it says, now it shall come to pass. That's a way God says, certainly. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you on high above all nations. And then you can go and read the rest of that. That's why you hear pastors talking about their concern about America. America respected God if nothing else. This disrespect for God, and this a lot of people because they got some consciousness behind their name to disrespect God, and the leadership allowing it and not clamping down on it. See, this is the problem. There's no democracy in the Bible. So a lot of these people that exist now would have been executed. You go back and read the Old Testament. A lot of these folk with all this outlandish behaviors, they would have been executed. They still, in some countries right now, execute homosexuals, even though they have been severely damaged in most cases. They damage goods. God, under the New Testament, uses a different method. Get them born again. See, and if you ever have to come in contact with a homosexual, minister salvation to them. Let God, that what they need is that. Don't worry about where they are at that moment. Everybody was somewhere dirty at that moment. I was everything but that. Okay? And once that seed get planted, it will sprout the power of God. It's been shown. But I know at least 3 testimonies of transgender that have changed and submitted themselves to be what God called them to be and have gone on to live holy lives. So you be the seed planter. As Paul said, one planter for another water, and God give it the increase. All right? Again, this is what I like. And see, that's another area. I'm not going to minister to certain people because of how I feel about them. Now, listen, that's irrelevant. This is why you can't hate people because of the complexion of their skin. Okay? If God send you out to minister, God send you out to minister, period. Okay? And now, if they reject it, that's on them. But you want to keep a continuity of your relationship with God. That's the key. And so when you pray, you are, it's almost like you feel the Spirit of God sucking you in, drawing you in, and letting you know in your spirit, I got you. I already had this prepared for you. I just was so glad that you submitted unto me. That makes it easier for me to do. See, that's what this is about. See, I'm already, it's some things it's a lot of working parts to this thing, but still, this is why we do this every week, to try to help you get a fix on it. So, and another thing, if you don't listen, I'm a better at this, but I'm not perfect at this. Okay, so the key to this is don't quit. And when you do come up short, ask God, why did you come up short? And then listen. And like I said, the more you read the word, the more he can speak back the words to you. John 14:26, Jesus said that he, through the Holy Spirit, will bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. And the Bible is God talking unto you. And don't let people get you caught up in who the Father is, the Son is, the Holy Ghost is. Buy my book, and I explain all that. You're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday. And I tell you, spend time worshiping him. Start out with 3 minutes of praise and worship. Okay? Just singing and praising God. Study the Psalms. It'll teach you how to worship God, how to talk to God. And just be personal with him. That's more important to him than when you're at church. Everybody show up at church, you know. I've seen over the years, people be real, they all exuberant at church. And then they get out of church and they tire flat and then they find out AAA take 2 hours to come change the tire. And then they get home and the food is cold or somebody ate their food or they ain't got no food. And they start losing their continence. Get to the place where with all that happened, you can praise God anyhow. And then sing, God, you are good. So very good. God, you are good. You've been better than good. When you can sing under those conditions, that's a connection. That's when you're on the right path. And I'm going to tell you, God will bless you. You know what? It takes. But again, why? God, I tell you, if you pay attention to life, God will show you these things. Because your environment is different than mine. Okay? And that's what Romans 1:20 said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. He's the only one capable of breaking it down to you. It doesn't matter what your status is, where you at. You may be PhD, you may be GED. It does not matter. God can give you the revelation you need. One of the greatest preachers I know is a GED. He called him the walking Bible. You know, the president, you can't misquote scripture and him not correct you. So that's God. See, God is God. Excuse me, God is God. He's beyond what we can imagine. Again, but the end goal is for us to be holy as he is holy. And holy ain't walking around just scripture quoting all the time, particularly the fault finders. You know what? Looking for fault in humans is like standing by the shore of a river looking for water. That's just a waste of time. If you find fault, guess what? You are responsible to pray for it. How about that? That ought to stop some people from looking for that. All right. So we have approached the end of this message, and this may be the first time you heard this. It may be before the rapture or after the rapture, but this is all you need right now to receive the Holy Spirit. He comes with the name Christ, also with Jesus. And just say this prayer with me. Father God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe what it says, that all men are born in sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And you sent your son to die. And he was buried and rose again. And I believe that. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again. Amen. That's, you know, that's the easy part. And to keep behind that, don't quit. And read the word, talk to God. God knows everything you need to know. See, he'll work with you. That's how I got through this. Because just talk to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week if the rapture don't come. Well.